let's imagine that AI overviews take all of your traffic. Is your like shopping feed actually optimized? Is your email marketing any good? So if you're getting people organically, are you making sure you're capturing those email addresses and social media as well? If you've got social media integrated, so it's like a multi-channel approach, which is not putting your eggs all in one basket. Just look at what your acquisition is and are you reliant on one particular traffic and how can you diversify that to kind of protect yourself in the future?
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focus podcast. If you're not familiar with the Keep Optimizing format, well, every five episodes, we switch our focus to a different e-commerce marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, it could be Facebook ads or something else. And in each episode, we release a new one every single Wednesday. I get to interview a different expert on it to explore an angle on making it work for you right now. Before we get into today's SEO episode, I just want to say a huge thank you to listener Edward Scott Finnegan for introducing us to our guest for this episode. Edward told him he ought to apply and he was right. Great guest coming up. So thank you, Edward. Now, at the moment, we are picking up our SEO thread again, helping you work out what you should be doing to drive organic traffic whilst we all get to grips with what AI means for this particular marketing channel. In this episode, we're looking at why SEO is now an all-in approach, and then we go off on a tangent. So we talk about that for a bit, and then we get really deep into the thing that our guest does when he first starts working on a client's account, which is the content quality audit. We'll be going through why this is important and lots of nitty-gritty stuff around it about making the right decisions based on your content quality audit. As you're about to discover, it's something I'm working on at the moment. So I was super interested in this and I hope it will be very useful for you too. And make sure you listen right to the end because you don't want to miss out on Ian's insider tips because there's some really good juicy stuff in there as well.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard-of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Ian Ferguson. Ian is a freelance SEO consultant specializing in helping e-commerce brands to grow their revenue from organic search. He's been improving SEO performance for over 15 years, getting deep into technical SEO optimization, on-page experience, and lots of data crunching. Hello, Ian.
Hi, Chloe. Great to be here.
Very cool to have you on the show. How did you get into the world of SEO?
So it started about 15 years ago with, straight out of university, couldn't find a job in the Northeast. Funny enough, there's there's plenty of opportunities now. So I started working for my sister, built her first website for a kind of home accessories showroom she had.
Built it on like old school tables and
basically selling home furnishings and optimizing those, learning on the job pretty much. I remember getting out of rank for artificial lemon. I thought, that's it. I've cracked SEO. Like, I can do anything. From there, found a job in Leeds where I was kind of more generalist. So went into, did pretty much everything from the SEO to the PPC to the Photoshopping to the email to social media. Far too many hats for one person. Moved back to the Northeast, and then that's when I got specialized and honed specifically into kind of technical SEO. And then as of about 4 months ago, went freelance. So made the jump from agency side, so about 10 years agency side, to doing what I do now, which is more of like the e-commerce consultancy. Still got a lot of the technical side, the back end, but with enough knowledge to be able to tell people where they can make improvements, whether that's paid, whether that's referral, that kind of thing.
It is quite fascinating how over the years, the role of the SEO person, whatever job title you're giving them, you know, agency, freelancer, manager, exec, whatever it might be, their role has gone from being all about keywords and links to now being about speed and all kinds of crazy technical stuff, but then also becoming inextricably linked to conversion rate optimization and kind of branding. Is that a journey you've enjoyed, or do you long for the old days?
I do enjoy it, yeah, because it keeps things fresh. And just going back to the first site, it was keyword stuff, and it was like, the artificial lemon. It was like artificial lemon in the title, in the description, in the image alt text, that kind of thing. And now I find it more rewarding to look at like brand as a whole. And I think SEOs are kind of perfect for that role. Where you have to, it's not good enough just to have like good on-page SEO. You have to have good experience and kind of got to adapt to what Google wants, which at the end of the day, is they want it to be like as if a person, as if Google, the crawler was coming on the site and they were clicking through and they were having a brilliant time and they were eventually buying something.
So why, I mean, you put forward this brilliant pitch to come on and talk about how we have to kind of do everything in order to satisfy Google and deliver to Google what they want from a page they put at the top of the listings. Why, I mean, I suppose Google says is why we have to do this, but why do you think it's so important for people to have this mindset shift from the SEO piece to the wider kind of, do we call it e-commerce success brand strategy piece?
Yeah, it is one of those things where Google always tells us they want brand first kind of thing. And I think, to be honest, it's something we should have been doing for a while, for a long time, with this kind of user experience first SEO. I think a lot of the time people do what they do. An SEO can be defined in so many ways. Like some people think it's just link building. People think it's all about keywords. But at the end of the day, it's kind of satisfying the user. If they land on your site, they should get that good experience, whether that's, you know, a product landing page or a collection page. And I think Google's been playing catch up, but I think they're at the point now where they pretty much have it sussed and there's no more kind of quick wins you can do. Although it's very rarely something you can do that's a quick win, especially if you've been established for a long time. So yeah, it's just super important to get a grasp on the whole thing from the first landing page, whether that be coming to you on a product page or the home page, all the way through to the kind of checkout and everything in between.
In some ways, to me, it feels like a bit more like the old Google Ads approach. You know, because we always knew with Google Ads that the keyword here and the keyword in the ad, the keyword in the page, the keyword here would help with our, obviously help with the user journey, but would help Google understand what we were trying to do. And it feels a bit more like seeing that whole piece rather than just the SEO technicalities of it. Or am I over confusing with that? Or do you think that's a fair similarity?
Yeah, I think there's definitely similarities there. Again, everyone assumes there's kind of, you've got that nice quality score in the paid side, and everyone assumes there's a secret SEO score as well. There's been various things to say there might be. So it's a good comparison to make. But it's I think it's for e-commerce particularly, SEO is kind of this new wave of kind of things that are happening with informational intent sites not aren't affecting e-commerce as much, or not yet anyway. And I think that's because it can be quite formulaic with the e-commerce side of things. You want particular things on the page that satisfy Google, or rather that satisfy the user, and you kind of assume that Google's looking at these as well at scale. Things like if you've got kind of reviews is a good tick in the box. Things like if you've got good product filters is like a good tick in the box, and that's things that help the user. But then I always like to think from Google's point of view, they want you to think about everyone, like Google's coming onto your site and looking at it, but in reality, they're kind of crawling trillions of URLs a day, and there will be certain things to look for like that, like whether it's got good filters, whether it's got good reviews, descriptions, images, all that kind of thing. So definitely like a formulaic element to it, if that makes sense.
So when I was going to say, where do we start if we're going, right, we need to actually put some effort into our SEO this year, but actually I'm going to ask you a different question, which is, if we're trying to make Google happy, what are our guiding lights for that? Because obviously what we do first depends on what our strategy is. And our strategy is kind of being dictated by Google, because they're telling us in lovely Google phraseology and terms what they actually want. And it used to be, if we go back 5-10 years, what Google wanted was that Google wants to show the best results to the individual searcher. So if we can be the best result for that keyword, then we should appear at the top. And we knew 3 or 4 different ways that Google was probably assigning best thing for this keyword. That's changed a great deal in the last 5-10 years. So what for you are kind of the guiding principles of how you decide what you're actually going to do based on what Google wants? Is it about brand? Is it about speed? Is it about keywords? What are the kind of the first principles you go to?
So yeah, my guiding principle is, it's evolved over time, as you can imagine, but over the last few years, it's been to not do something for Google or to not do it for SEO, and always check. A good SEO should be a side effect of a good user experience, good rankings particularly should be a side effect of like a good on-page experience. So kind of flipped it on its head, whereas like I say, very different even 5 years ago. So that is, if it doesn't make sense to do this for any other reason but SEO, don't do it. And I think that's pretty much a good long-term strategy to look for things. There are ways you can interpret that, but let's imagine like customer reviews on a product page will have no impact on how well the site ranks. And it doesn't really matter, because it's still good for building trust signals and getting people to convert. So yes, SEO conversion re-optimization pretty much going hand in hand. Yeah, and there's things like old school techniques about link building, for example. So buying 100 links, does that make sense for any other reason other than you might rank? No, therefore don't do it. Flip that on its head, it would be a case of, oh, well, does it make sense to get your products featured in like an indie best list, for example? Let's imagine it has no SEO value, but it still has the value of extra referral traffic, all that brand stuff. So yeah, that's how it's changed over the years.
I love those examples you gave there, because I think it certainly used to be, I remember going to SEO conferences many years ago now, and it was, you come away with all these crazy ninja tactics that someone had worked out and a whole list of like cool SEO stuff to do. And nowadays, I would imagine if you go to an SEO conference, I don't get to go to as many anymore, but it's more good marketing strategy, which drives your SEO traffic. But it's not that you're going, oh, we worked out that if you do this, this, and this, and if you focus on some links from Reddit, you'll double your traffic overnight. You know, that everybody was not a recommendation, just so you know. But it's interesting how it's all evolved. But actually, let's get practical, Ian. So your guiding principle is all about doing the right thing for the user, not doing something because it's great for SEO. So when you start working with somebody, taking this kind of full stack approach and looking for these opportunities, and they're hiring you in as an SEO consultant, where do you start with that in order to make the right impact for the brand? Is it a keyword research report? Is it a usability survey? Is it customer research? Where does this process of doing SEO right start?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer. A classic SEO thing is, it depends. But generally, I look at, so Google always, the only kind of advice it comes out with today is focus on quality of the content. And we know if you've got a lot of poor quality pages, then overall, your website will kind of be penalized. Penalized is probably a strong word, but You have the site-wide factors, which is and the page level factors. So the page level, generally, when any algorithm update comes, it'll just look at the particular page. But they have this huge site-wide factor. So if you've got a lot of old content, a lot of things that aren't selling particularly well, if we're focusing on e-commerce, or if you've got a load of blogs that aren't getting read, my first thing is to usually come in and cull them, do a whole content quality audit, and that generally includes like a crawl of the site using Screaming Frog. And that'll be connected to loads of APIs, so that'll connect with the Google Analytics, Google Search Console, and tools like Ahrefs. So very quickly you can see, let's say over the last year, you can see how many of your products or collections have actually been viewed, how many of them have gained a link, how many of them rank for any keywords. And we're at a time now where there's quite a lot of mature websites out there that have got a lot of bloat. And that is like a site-wide signal of quality. It's pretty bad. And we know, and know through experience, if we just cut all of those pages, like we just delete them, especially blogs when you've got like a competition from 10 years ago that's still live on the site, getting rid of that's only a good thing. So that's generally when I'll start, and I generally find myself looking at collection pages time and time again, because you'll find that just as the e-commerce site evolves, you get loads of collections that are created. It might have been for an email campaign, or like spring 2021, or even I found one the other day from like 2017. I was like, why is this there? It's just an empty collection. And it's all of it. I always try to use the analogy of an actual shop. So if it was a bookshop and you had books that have been on the shelf that hadn't sold in 10 years, you would quickly get rid of that actual product and put like a bestseller on it or something new. But people have this thought of your website is just this infinite space, or just go nuts. But if you try to think of it as like a smaller shop where you've only got a limited number of spaces to put things, there's no way you would keep bring 2021 collections or have empty aisles, for example. I'm going to clean that all up, because then generally that's how you'd make a good overall shop.
I was giggling when you said about the competition page from 2012. I was thinking, have you been looking over my shoulder as I've been cleaning up the e-commerce master plan website in the last few weeks? Because we're just going through that exact content quality audit perspective on our websites at the moment. And some of the stuff I wrote 15 years ago does not need to exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It feels a bit painful. I assume you said, you know, that you just delete the old stuff. You're 301 redirecting just for belt and braces on that, or are you just going, sod it, we'll just delete it?
If it makes sense to redirect it, if it's something like for like, then I'll do it. But yeah, sometimes it's best to let something 404.
Really?
Yeah, there's a misconception. If you were to redirect everything to the homepage, you'd be preserving some sort of page authority or something like that. But generally not. Generally, that just makes things harder to crawl for Google. If it's going to an old competition page that no longer exists, and it goes back to the homepage, you end up in this loop where it'll find the blog again and then kind of come back, and very confusing. But this is why we do the audit initially, to see which pages actually have built backlinks that might help SEO, or that might rank for keywords. And then for those ones, it's a case of like, can we redirect them somewhere good, or is it just cut the cord, just let it die, let it 404?
So whether or not we 301 depends on the actual URL have any backlinks, first and foremost. And then secondly, did it have any value, or is it literally backlinks or bust?
Yeah, you're trying to find out if it still ranks for something, if there's any chance of redeeming that. But I will a lot of the time do a consolidation. So we've got like three collections. Sometimes it's way more. Sometimes you've got 10, 20 collections, which might have 99% of the time similar products. That makes sense. In which case, we'll find out which is the best version of that URL based on how many clicks it's had, impressions, then redirect everything to it. But if it's something that it's, you know, like products you no longer sell, if it's not like for like, Google's going to ignore it anyway, pretty much.
So I guess it's kind of like, if we find our Black Friday 2012 page is still lurking around, redirecting that to our / Black Friday page would be a good idea. The thank you page for entering our competition to win a bar of soap in 2012, however, is almost certainly not backlinked by anybody, almost certainly shouldn't be ranking for anything. So that one we just don't bother and we let it 404, to oversimplify.
Yeah, I would say that's spot on. That's spot on. If it's golden rule, if it's not like for like, then there's probably no point. I would just focus on improving your 404 page. So if you do that job and you're worried about that, And at least your 404 page isn't just a literally a page that is 404. It links, it's a better user experience. It'll link off to, you know, here are some similar products, or here are our core ranges of products. Like, feel free to click through into the site.
And then the other thing which really, really made me go, ooh, when you were talking through your content quality audit was deleting blog posts, which historically have been seen as the high quality pages where you put loads of great copy and all the rest of it. How do you decide that you're willing to delete that? Because partly also because in the e-commerce space, blogs are like the hardest content to create mentally for most people in e-commerce. Product pages, fine. Collections, to a penny. We'll do those all day long. But to create a blog feels like investment in time and effort and energy. And then to delete it. Is there not an argument for updating, repurposing, adding more links to more internal links? How do you decide to kill them off?
It's a good question. It's something I get all the time, and it's the when I do the audit, there will be generally like five places where I'll recommend to do with that. Let's say blogs, and that is just to keep it because it's performed well, or to update it, or to consolidate it if you've got three or four blogs over the years that are pretty much saying the same thing, or you can no index it if you want to keep it for some reason but want it out of Google and add that Google, or then there's the delete factor of it. So there will be, it's kind of I don't want to say SEOs are to blame, but maybe the kind of golden days of SEO, you could create a blog for pretty much any topic, any subject you want. And the idea is, if we create that and if we make it slightly better than the other blogs out there, Google will then rank us for it and we'll start to get loads of kind of top of the funnel of keywords. That, especially around, you know, with AI overviews and all the AI answers, that's pretty much a tactic which is pretty much dead. You know, like if you sell shirts, for example, a blog on kind of what is a shirt, or what's the difference between it's like a short sleeve or a long sleeve, or when would you use either one? Those kind of topics which have been done a million times, unless they have ranked previously, there's kind of no point in ranking now. So we're starting to go into an age where it's kind of less is more, where we have a really kind of really like the word I'm looking for, like an interactive piece. It might be a piece on shirts, and it might be a piece on trends, but then that might link to a quiz where it's a case of what's the best one for me, and which kind of leads you down the aisle of giving you a collection page which is specific to your needs. But in that quiz, you would say whether you like buttons or short sleeve or long sleeve, or what the occasion was, or your favorite colors. So something that would, blogs that would make you go off the AI overviews into the actual blog itself, because it's something extra there. So yes, yeah, there might be a case of you could salvage some of the old content if it used to rank, but then sometimes it's better off just starting fresh rather than, you know, digging a piece out. But it's a long way to answer. But there's that guilty side of SEOs where we've had all this like continuous blog content where it's maybe one or two blogs a month even, but over time we're just throwing more and more at it and hoping that Google ranks us, and then I have this whole section of old content which kind of gets delisted and doesn't rank anymore, and that kind of degrades. So content writers are always fighting this losing battle of creating more stuff to put in and often neglecting the old stuff. So I think the smart way to do it now is just to, you know, focus, make sure that anything that does rank doesn't drop off in like 6 or 12 months' time, optimizing the old as well as the new.
Got you. One of the reasons I think you're content quality audit is very much of the moment now isn't just because it's what Google wants. From what I've been hearing, and you will be, I suspect, do a lot deeper into this than I am, so feel free to contradict me if I am way off base with this one, Ian. But it seems to be that the getting thrown up by the LLMs as a result in ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude or whatever, when consumers are asking it questions, is as much to do with your whole digital footprint as it is to do with the actual web page that the digital footprint has found. So if you had a website that talks 99% about SEO and has one blog about email marketing, the chances of you being picked up by the AI for email marketing are about zilch, because everything else talks about SEO. So by rationalizing our old content and removing the dross, we can make ourselves have a more focused presence. I can see you're frowning at me, so I may well be way off base here. So nobody hit pause yet. You're going to need Ian's answer on this one. How wrong am I?
No, the frown was just me thinking. I'll formulate the answer, because you're spot on. I think it's the more specific you can be, the better nowadays. So there's loads of scripts there which talk about like vector mapping and your embeddings, which is Google's way of it's a method of finding out what your site is about and what it talks about. So Screaming Frog have just released like this way of doing it en masse when you crawl your site, and it'll give you a visual of kind of all of the pages on your site, and it'll kind of group things that are close together. But then you'll have something called outliers, where you have things that are way off on a tangent, that kind of thing. And the general advice today is to remove those pieces that are just not talking about what your brand is about. But that could be something like, you know, one or two aren't going to be harmful. Maybe it's you've done a blog on, a charity event you've done or something like that, and you want to keep that, but just know that that's nothing close to what you do. If what you usually talk about is SEO. So yeah, it's almost like stay in your lane is the advice. And that's always been the case as well. So like if you take WordPress sites or Substacks, where they're all separate, whether it's all the same content on the domain, Google has a really difficult time of actually understanding what that domain is about, because like WordPress domains where you could be talking from anything from, I don't know, wrestling to fashion or something, it's hard for it to figure out. But if you're just focused on one particular product, you should, where you can't be talking as much about that as you can. And the most success I've had are with, especially agent side or clients that just do one thing. And they might just sell yoga supplies, or they might just sell like tiles, for example. And oftentimes when like the CEO says, oh, we want to start selling toilets alongside tiles, that kind of thing, and they expect to be able to rank for that, even though it's similar because you have bathroom tiles, bathroom toilets, you find it's very difficult to actually like break out of that. We just do wall tiles section. That makes sense. So that's when you have an argument of whether it's worth doing a separate site, or whether you do, if you're an e-commerce, if you're a massive brand like Amazon, why would people come to you if you do everything, versus kind of focusing down and niching down on a specific market? That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And you mentioned, there's no way I'm putting my website into that new Screaming Frog toy. It'd be way too scary on e-commerce master plan. I think finish my pre-tidy first. You mentioned there about WordPress websites, and before anyone has a heart attack, I just want to clarify that that is when you're hosting on WordPress itself, and therefore the word WordPress is in your domain, not when you've used your own URL.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. Relax, everybody. Yeah. It's okay. Ian, is there anything we've missed? One thing we've missed that people need to know about, or have we covered all the key things there? I know we took a bit of a deviation from everything into the world of content quality audits, but is there anything else you'd really love to tell the audience before we move on?
So it is coming back to this idea of SEO not being able to like operate in isolation. So going back 5-10 years, I could just quite happily do kind of technical SEO audits, and you would do something that would change the site. Nowadays, I find myself kind of promoting other channels as well outside of SEO. My job as an e-com consultant is to come in and say, okay, well, you have all this traffic from Google, but actually your referral traffic's not very good. So I'm discussing ways in which you can kind of pull on that lever, for example. Let's imagine that AI overviews take all of your traffic, or take like a huge chunk of it. How are you focused? So is your PPC, is your like shopping feed actually optimized, whether it's for free shopping or the paid shopping? Is your email marketing any good? So if you're getting people organically, are you making sure you're capturing those email addresses again so that you could remark to those people? And that's in social media as well. If you've got social media integrated, so it's like a multi-channel approach, which is kind of not putting your eggs all in one basket. But I think that's something, if you take away today, just look at what your acquisition is, and are you reliant on one particular traffic, and how can you kind of diversify that to kind of protect yourself in the future?
Good point there for life and marketing and business, I think. Thank you, Ian. It's been great picking your brains about all of this. Listeners, though, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Ian's insider tips on SEO and my suggestions for other ways we can help you improve things even further.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook. Okay, and so far we've gone deep into the all-in SEO approach, including a great bit on the content quality audit. Loving that. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of SEO. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with SEO, which of course does include all the things we've already been talking about. Ian, are you ready for these?
Yep, fire away.
Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
So I would, depends on where you want to start, but if you're looking at it from a pure on-site organic traffic kind of point of view, always look at Google Search Console first. And there's loads of resources on to find out what that means, but that's basically you want to look at your own data first. You want to see what your top pages are in there, the keywords they rank for, and just think about that whole kind of less is more approach when doing it. And then there's also the angle for kind of UX, which is tied with, I guess, what Google wants with quality and brand, and that would be using something like Microsoft Clarity or Hotjar, which are both free tools which you can install on your site and basically allows you to kind of look at what your customers are doing on the site. That's kind of the data first approach and then the user experience first approach, and both of them are as valuable as either. Just sometimes sitting down and looking at how people are navigating through the site, where they're dropping off, where they're kind of rage clicking, all that thing. Really good place to start.
Love that. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
So my favorite way to improve performance is a bit of a process of hypothesize, test, and repeat. So there's loads of different areas you can look at. The best way is to just kind of pick one and then make a hypothesis. For example, if I change this, will this happen? Test it, make that change in your site, and then just monitor it and then go back to the start. So starting with the content audit, the hypothesis there is if you get rid of the old stuff, does it work? You know, you got to get rid of that or put it in a draft for now, see how it does, see how your writings improve. If you find that's worked, then just keep refining, keep consolidating and streamlining your pages so that each page holds its own.
Nice. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
There's loads. All that come to mind are the Wix SEO Learning Hub. So that's really developed over the last year in terms of what it offers. And you've got like SEO celebrities, I like to call them, in there. You've all specialized in some certain topics that will kind of teach you that. And there's also learningseo.io, which is Leda Solis. And she's got some great stuff on there, your traditional keyword research stuff, but there's also a whole section on Reddit for SEO. And then to add a shameless plug, there's my own newsletter, which is SEO TLDR, which is basically a weekly newsletter that I write, which breaks down what's happened in the week. I kind of go for like a no fluff approach because there's loads of great newsletters out there which focus on technical SEO, and they can be a bit too in depth if you don't do it like day in, day out. So I try to consolidate that list and just give you like actionable insights in what you can actually do with all of these changes.
Very cool. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Going to be AI. AI mode particularly. So that's rolled out in the US and it'll be UK and the rest of the world pretty soon. There's something called the great decoupling, which I'm not coming out of term, but it's basically when your site impressions remain the same or potentially improve, but you get fewer clicks from that. And that is basically like Google stealing your content and present it in the AI overviews. E-commerce is a little bit immune to it because it will still link through to products. But yeah, I'd just say prepare for that. And this kind of more so a death of this informational intent content. When I say death, it's death of the old school kind of content where it's writing for really generic things that you don't really want to go to a website anyway. You'd rather an AI overview answered it. And I guess the birth of this more rich content embedded an interactivity within it.
I do want that, the content decoupling, the AI overviews in the search results, I find fascinating. I do wonder if we're about to see a load of presentations telling us how to get position two.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't want to be good enough to get picked up by the AI overview because then we don't get traffic. So we want to be in position two so we get a link. Yeah. I can foresee it. I foresee those sessions coming up. If anyone sees one, let me know because I would love to be proved right.
The fear mongering in the course. The courses that come with it. So take this course and for £200 and all your website will tank. But generally good SEO is being good SEO. It's the same thing. As long as you focus on the user and making a good user experience, you'll generally do okay.
Exactly. Ian, thank you so much for being on the show. Before we let you go, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Sure, yeah. So the LinkedIn's my one and only place now where I kind of try to post a couple of times a week, which is once a week at least, which is like a roundup of the SEO TLDR newsletter. So if you Google SEO TLDR, you'll see it. It's a weekly like newsletter roundup, like I said, with actual insights. And then if you know, if anything, you want to strike up a conversation, LinkedIn is the best place to drop me a message on there and be happy to talk.
Cool. Everyone, so go and find Ian Ferguson, who's all about SEO, on LinkedIn, and you can get hold of the newsletters and you can ask him any direct questions if you want to, because I know some of you are gagging to do that right now. Ian, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been brilliant getting to catch up with you and loving your take on everything. So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks so much, Clay. It's been a pleasure.
Great to chat with Ian there. And if you are not off to start on a content quality audit for your site and find all those abandoned pages that aren't doing you any favours right now and find ways to deal with them, what are you doing? Are you just one of those lucky people who's already done it? Because we're deep in some of that stuff here at the moment. And it's embarrassing, enlightening, and like a trip down memory lane if you've been involved the entire time. And even when I've been involved in all the content on the e-commerce master plan website, I'm looking at it going, why on earth did we create that? And how did that not get killed off years ago? Anyway, I digress. So loads of cool little tips in there from Ian and some really big stuff around the content quality audit and the need to think about the user, not about the SEO. And that's how you should be shaping your SEO marketing activity. I thoroughly enjoyed that chat with Ian. You can get our notes, the links, the transcripts, and all that kind of good stuff at keepoptimizing.com. You can also use our special direct to episode short link to get direct to the right page. Just use keepopt.com/the number of this episode. Put that in the URL bar and you'll go to the right page of the website. And when you get there, why not add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other stuff we share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing Podcast. If you are desperate for more SEO content right now, well, we have it. Why not check out episode 264? It's only a couple before this one, where I'm chatting with Sam Wright from Blink SEO about what you need to do about the hookup between ChatGPT and Shopify. So yeah, we're talking about shopping results appearing in AI results, and there's loads of cool stuff in that one, which I think fits in quite nicely what we've been talking about in this episode. You can also find our full thread of SEO content by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/SEO to go to the SEO page on the website. Please do tell your fellow marketers about the show because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you tune into the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine.
Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Have you yet downloaded the 500 Top Tips to Make Your E-commerce Business More Profitable ebook? Packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable. I've organized the whole thing into sections so you can dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need to. This ebook exists to be there on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at keepopt.com/ebook. Get this epic e-commerce ebook now at keepopt.com/ebook.